Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing voices to power. Grassroots mouthpiece. Sundays 5 to 7. The Child Support Hustle is real. You can catch the Child Support Hustle show Saturdays from 5 to 7 with co-hosts Drew D and Kenya R. The Child Support Hustle is real. Catch me on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com. Let your voice be heard on HuntsvilleBlack.com. Don't miss the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, Tuesdays from 8 to 10. Bringing voices to power. Bringing voices to power.
All right, this episode of the Child Support Hustle Show with author Kenya Rockman, we'll be talking about what happens when the system takes money from people who don't owe it to them. Today's guest, Roderick McClintock, claims that what happened to him is the system went awry and there were no checks and balances because he paid his child support on time. Roger retired from the military after his children grew older and at one point even received a refund in 2014 because he had actually overpaid. The next month, Roderick's tax refund was captured by the state and he went from getting an overpay refund to the next month owing thousands of dollars. Mr. McClintock didn't just fold his tent up. He inquired and began to seek to recover what was his. The money was sent to his ex-wife, and now the state doesn't want to reimburse him, but instead is suggesting that he sue his ex-wife due to the mistake by the state. This is just another way how they keep parents at each other's throat. All right, we got a call on the line. I'm going to turn it over to Kenya Rockman, author of The Child Support Hustle. Caller, you want to identify yourself? Or are you just listening? Okay, Kenya, you can go ahead. Okay, Kenya, you go ahead. Kenya, you with us? Roderick, how about you? You there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your story.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now.
Okay,
Kenya,
I was just going to welcome Mr. McClintock to the show and wanted to find out how you went from owing, overpaying to owing child support in the state of Texas.
Okay, first of all, I'd just like to thank you for inviting me to share my story. It is probably one of the saddest things that you have to do to try to explain yourself when you're wronged when you're right. I was in the military at the time, and the ex-wife was receiving my monthly child support. Upon retiring, she was also receiving my Social Security benefits. And so what happened was she did not report the Social Security income. And I began to go down to the to the child support agency and explain to them what the problem was. And I told them, hey, I'm no longer in the service. I'm getting Social Security. She's receiving both my Social Security and my monthly payment, which came out to be a little over $1,000. And so what happened was when I retired, they said that a few months went by, there was no income coming in, and I said, no, she's receiving funds, but she's not telling you guys that. And then it got to a point where they did the math. After I retired in June of 2014, they did the math, and in December of 2014, they sent me a $736 check saying that I had overpaid, which I was sure that I had. And come about the second week in January 2015, I typically go to the financial management service, and I called them, and it's an automated system, so I just wanted to make sure that I didn't owe anybody, whether it be child support or any federal loans, student loans, whatever. I call that number every year. I call it here. In the next couple of days, just to be sure, even though I don't owe. And so I called that number, and they said that my tax return would be seized. And I went to child support, and I told them, I said, how was that when you just gave me a $736 check 3 weeks ago?
Right.
And so the lady didn't want to hear it, so I retained a lawyer, and went to the child support meeting that they set up on 59 here in Houston. And so went to the meeting, and the lady and I had a little altercation. The representative that had the altercation, she said that, sir, I can give you credit for the lump sum of the child support from the Social Security, but that's all. And I said, well, if you can give me $1,280 credit until the other $4,000 that she received from Social Security, because Social Security does not give out gifts.
That's right.
And so she took that, I guess, to be a little sarcastic, and my lawyer said, well, we'll just go ahead and go to court and let that judge solve the issue. Well, not even 2 weeks later, they released my funds after she said that she would hold my tax return up to 180 days. And so now I'm sitting here trying to get the money back, but the problem that I have is that the judge signed the order saying that I did not owe child support. And now getting the refund is a problem because all three judges that I've gone to that have taken the case have recused themselves. And
that's what...
I look at it this way. If I were wrong, that was one thing. But now I'm in the right, and you have judges, ones who are supposed to uphold the letter of the law, retreating and hiding behind the color of law. And that's where we're at this point.
My first question, before I ask that question, when you said that you called down there when they said that you owed money and you said she wouldn't want to hear, the caseworker wasn't trying to hear it, what was she saying when you first asked about this discrepancy before the meeting was even set up?
All she said is that, sir, you'll have to go to court. And that's what we did. And when she said go to court, I think in the back of her mind she already knew that they were not going to win, so she went ahead and released mm-hmm. the funds. Thinking, I guess because I'm the Christian side of the law, thinking that I was mm-hmm. just going to forgive and forget, which I did the first part. I forgave, but I didn't forget, so I went down to the lawyer's office and retained the lawyer.
Well, that's a great bit of money. I wouldn't have forgot it either. Okay, so my next question is, why did they ever give you a reason why the judges, you said three judges recused themselves from the case when you did take it to court? Were you ever given any reason why they recused themselves?
As of the 10th of January 2018, as of that day to this day that we are speaking, still waiting on the answer to that question.
They're not going to answer. That's one of the tactics. Those judges, that case is hot. They don't want to have their hands on it. That's the only reason why. Unless you don't know that judge, you don't have no personal relationship with that judge, she doesn't have no personal relationship with that judge, why are they recusing? They're recusing because they don't want to make no judgment that's going to be negative to them. It's all going to go back
Absolutely.
To them.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter if it's the right thing to do. They're going to resist to take any money out of the system. They resist it.
I've done some research, and I found out, for one, let me say it this way. It's all political. It's not. It has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with race. I believe that every man that has a objectivity, should I say, to use it in a lighter way, every man has a problem in the court system unless he has money. And if he had money, it would not go as far as it went with my situation. But when I say it's political because all three judges are Republicans. And the governor and the attorney general are Republicans. So I believe, and this is by me being a paralegal, I understand the tactics that are being used. But Lady Justice wears a blindfold for a reason. And
That's right. Reason
is to keep down prejudice against the plaintiff or the defendant. And I believe that when they realized that I was not going to stumble and just bow down to their threats and tactics, the judges began to peek through the blindfold.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that the scale of justice is there to weigh the evidence. And the evidence has been proven by the judgment, by the judge that said I did not owe. And you would believe or think to believe that that would have been the end of the case. But what happened is because she peeked through the blindfold and she saw that whether I was Republican or Democrat or not, I was right. And there's a difference between this situation. I'm not trying to say that it's a prejudice deal, but it's a racial deal, but I will say it's a prejudice deal. And it has nothing to do with skin color. It has something to do with right or wrong. And that's where I'm at now. If I were to rob a bank, if I were to do something crazy or illegal, I'm sure all three of those judges would have fought to take the case.
I'll do you one better, Mr. McClintock. If you would not pay your child support, they wouldn't have recused themselves from your case. They would have locked
Absolutely.
You up. especially in the state
exactly.
of Texas.
They'd have been trying to suspend the license and do all that other stuff that they've been doing to try to beat the parent down. Now, you are in Texas, right?
I am
in Texas. Texas is where we get the Brantley Amendment. It don't matter if they owe you. It don't matter even if you were in a coma and were not able to pay. See, Mr. Brantley was on death row for 10 years. When he got out and was proven totally innocent, he was slapped with back child support. So these people have no remorse, and they don't want to pay it. They should be the ones who pay it. They're the ones who mistakenly captured it and issued it out. Now, have you checked with her?
Mm-hmm.
They did give it to her. Did they give her all of that tax refund?
Every dime, every penny. I had left was a receipt.
What's your relationship with the parent? Are y'all on good terms?
Oh no sir. And
okay, I was asking that because you know how they'll use the system to keep the custodial and the non custodial parent at each other's throat. Now,
absolutely.
Yeah, you see, they want you to start going to court like that. They want to get their hands, wipe their hands clean off of their mistake, and let you two keep on fighting about it. Because now that you're all paid out, they don't want nothing else to do with it.
The relationship between her and I has been better for a long time. Not me toward her, but more her toward me. Listen, I have love for everybody. I just want to do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Right.
My thing is, the judge that said that I did not owe is the same judge that recused herself. That was the initial judge. And then what she did is she kept passing the buck to some of the associate judges that she had brought along as she was a presiding judge. And so those judges did not want to go against their old boss. So everybody's in the same system. Here is the thing. I have a new court date. Believe it or not, the court is on tax return day. I want to see if this is going to change in any way to my favor. But here's one thing I want to note is because I've asked or I've had a lot of people ask me, should I say, I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, to assist them in their matters. And it's a lot of people have been asking me. Here is what I say to them. I cannot help you if you owe.
Right.
I can't even apologize. I can't say I'm sorry because right is right and wrong is wrong. If you owe, the only advice I could give you is to get back on track. That's the only advice.
Right.
But if you have been wronged and things have not gone the way that the legal way and on the 3rd of April 1968, Martin Luther King said it best when he said, be true, he said, America, be true to what you said on paper.
That's what I like about working with Kenya Rockman is she got people like you like to say you work on that, and she's got people that work on all aspects of the child support. So I want to urge everybody to go to www.thechildsupporthustle.com. And we got activists and people out there volunteering, doing marches, holding town halls, trying to help everybody from every angle. And they need to reach out to people like you who are going to help them, like you said, if you do not owe, because you know you've seen the system, you know how to go through it, and you're going through it now. But we also have people who are working on the child support was unconstitutional in the first place.
Okay, and that brings up another situation, another topic there. It's because child support.
But I didn't want to let the listeners know we cover all aspects, those that owe and do not owe.
Absolutely. Child support only deals with the financial side of the relationship. It should not tell you, child support agencies, Title IV agencies should not be legal to tell you when or when you cannot see your child.
That's not legal.
It is very illegal.
Yes, it
Title
is.
Child support only deals with the financial side of things. But and the reason I say that is because when the custodial parents of my children had custody of the children, and I would come all over this country to come see my kids. She had the right to say, no, you can't see them now. No, you can't do this. So when I go to child support and I say, hey, man, she won't let me see my children, even with the embroidered paper, she would say to me, you can't see them. But then when I go to the people who wrote the paper, they come back to tell me that they don't have anything to do with it. They're only child support. You have to go back to the court.
Exactly.
And I'm like, well,
that's another one of the tactics we talk about. They always claim it's all about the child. Then if we're in court, no matter what we're about, we're in court about the child, basically. So anything should be on the table. But they want that non-custodial to go an extra mile, hire a lawyer, or file more paperwork, take more days off from work, and try to come back. That's what I mean about it. This is not all about the child. It's about the money, and that's the only reason that they do that. And what you, like you said, is just right. It's more than just about money. The child needs a parent, and they need their father in their lives. And all the studies show that a child turns out better when there is shared parenting, when a child got two loving parents in their life. A child turns out better. And we're not going to change anything until we get these lawmakers, judges, and people to realize a child does better when they got both loving parents.
Well, here's
contact,
here's,
not just money.
Here's
they need
that
contact.
Here's something that I found out. Because judges are lawyers. Am I correct?
Right. Yes.
Judges are lawyers. Okay. And lawyers get paid by the time that they spend on a case.
Yes. As far as I know.
Because if you go to a lawyer's office today and say, "Hey, I need you to work this case for me," they may give you one good hour of consultation, but 61 minutes later, you're gonna be charged.
Right.
Am I right? So judges,
right.
judges get paid per case.
Right. They do. I want to get back to your case. I have a question.
Sure.
About your case, as far as when you, I'm sure being a paralegal and as being involved with your case as you have been, you requested your paperwork. What happened when you requested your paperwork so you could see and read what exactly happened in your case?
Well, they said to me that all of my records had been destroyed as of December of 2015, and
destroyed.
So I know that's a bunch of malarkey. Because if I owed, I'm sure that they would find some way to find those records.
What destroyed? What do they? I can't even talk. What do they mean destroyed?
Destroyed me, and they can't find anything with me. And here's the sad thing about it. I look at my credit report yesterday, and they have a record of theirs on my. They said that the last date it was reported was January 9th of 2019. But you can't find records, but you can still be on my credit report. That's very confusing to me.
They're lying every aspect of your case.
Yeah,
and if they can't find no record, first thing I'm going to do is dispute it on the credit report and make them produce the record to the credit folks that I do owe.
Brother, that's already
done. Okay. Make sure you cover
that
face right there.
And matter of fact, I've mentioned that to my attorney, because my thing is they had a situation back in 2014 when I was in a vehicle accident, and they also tried to put a lien on that accident. On that settlement.
Oh, wow. From back in,
I feel you on that. I feel you on that. I had won a case where it was me and my girlfriend were staying in a place, and they had some mold. We sued. We won about 25 grand. About the time it all played out, we weren't together. But it went between me and her and the kids. They seized every bit of mine. Every bit of it. And I still haven't seen a record that where it came off. There's no record of them seizing on my records.
Well, see, and the thing is with me is that because they said my case is closed, but they can't find the record, you still have an open lien on my stuff. Where now, when I paid off my truck, they had a lien on my truck when I was paying. Does that sound right?
Wow.
They'll put a lien on your property, on everything, your bank account.
When I'm paying off a vehicle, they have a lien on your stuff. Am I right?
Right.
Right.
And then when you pay off the truck, they send you a release of lien. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I received a release of lien from the car dealership, from the finance company, but I can't get a release of lien from the child support people, although the judge said I don't owe.
Wait. I guess they want to keep
it. What happened when you filed the Freedom of Information Act? When you filed for a Freedom of Information Act? You filed the paperwork to have it, have your case have with them. Did they respond to? Because I'm sure
respond,
you filed.
I've written Washington D.C. the Office of Child Support Enforcement. They always just like, look, I was in the military, so I know of the politics. I know how it's going to work. I knew the answer before they emailed me or wrote me back. I already knew what they were going to say. Uh-huh. It's called CYA, and what I do is when it comes time for civil rights violations, I use all that to support my situation. And so
right. So
what happened OCSE, wrote me back and said that this matter is not in their jurisdiction. It belongs to the state. Okay, got it, yada, yada, yada. I've written the Senator Cornyn.
Yes.
I've written all these people, and all of them have been tap dancing and moonwalking around the situation. And that's fine. I understand this politics. But when it comes time to pay the piper, all of them going to have to answer because they were aware of the situation.
I made a video about the Federal Office of Child Support Enforcement because they were at one time answering their complaints because I refer so many people to the agency because they're supposed to handle these cases when the local agency is not taking care of their business and tiptoeing around and passing the buck. And they have been ignoring complaints. And so I started referring people to the Health and Human Services, the Department of Health and Human Services, who is in charge of overseeing the Office of Child Support Enforcement, the Federal Office of Child Support Enforcement Agency, they're even ignoring. But
they sent me back to the state.
And they're not supposed to do that. They're supposed, especially in your case, when they are sending you an overpayment, then seizing your taxes and losing your files and doing all this, supposed to come in and fix, remedy the situation. That's their job.
Well, see, here's the good thing about my situation, and that's why I said if you owe, I can't help you. And this is for those who have been wronged and shuffled through the system. My best encouragement to everybody is to have patience.
Okay.
Patience is the number one game. Listen, I'm not going to get my money back in 3 weeks. I already knew that. I wasn't going to get it back. I knew this was going to be a fight because you're fighting against people who are corrupted in the state. That's on both sides, Democrat or Republican. You get enough of them in there. You see what I'm saying? You get enough of them in there. You know, that's why I say it's politics. And if it was all Democratic judges
and
a Democratic governor, it would have been the same problem.
It's about that 401K. That's what it's all about, and that money.
That's exactly what it is.
It's about that 401K.
And so that goes to another. Here's the transition to that conversation. It's because, and Kenya and I talked about it the other day, is because if everything is about the betterment or the welfare of the children. I had the job. I had the benefits. I had the livelihood. You know, in other words, I wasn't on drugs. I didn't do some of the things that the mother was doing. And you would think that they would say, well, you're the preacher. You know, you got your own business. You're a retired army.
You were money. They looked at you and saw money because
I'm about to get to that because,
yeah.
And the reason why I'm saying that is because if it were about the children, the benefit or the welfare of the children, they would say, well, ma'am, you don't have a job, and
right.
and you're on drugs. They would have pointed that all out, and which they did. And so, like I told the judge, I said, well, ma'am, listen, I can do everything that she can do but one thing, and that's breastfeed. I can wake them up in the morning. I can put their ponytails in their hair. I can scramble eggs. I can take them to daycare. Whatever I just cannot breastfeed. That's the only thing I cannot do. And so
right.
that probably turned her up, the judge, upside down to another degree because the truth was out. And so they would rather pay in the system because what happens is if they took money out of the system, if they took those four children that I had out of the system because I'm able to take care of them, they take your children out of the system because you're able to take care of them. You take all of this money out of the system. The state, cannot lobby the federal government, the Trump era. You cannot lobby them for more money because the fathers are taking care of their children the way the system is designed for it to go. So what
right.
happens is if I gave you $100 and you said, okay, what am I supposed to do? I said, take care of the children. What's the difference between the $100 being in McClintock's house and the custodial parents' house? There's absolutely nothing different. It's still going to be $520 bill, or however you want to explain.
Right.
It's still going to be the same amount of money, but they cannot lobby for food stamps if they're with me
right.
because I have all the benefits. I got the money.
Yeah,
you know, they
and they can't get their cut of that
they
money.
Want you and your family. They want you and your family. That's the way the system works. They want you and your family tied into the system forever. And I tell you what. Now, if you and her were equally matched, or anywhere close in money, and they knew she was on drugs, you would have got your child because they would have seen a little bit of money they can get out of her with those matching funds. But no, they saw
mm-hmm.
you, and they was like,
mm-hmm.
"Well, we don't care that he's a better parent." He is the one that the system can really basically feed off of, leech off of, and that they'll make a decision. That's sacrificing our children. They sacrifice
right.
our children every day and leave them in a bad situation just because they can make money.
That's not to say that that's the situation that the mom was on drugs or that any of the moms are on drugs or anything like that.
I'm just saying hypothetically, if anything,
okay.
you know, even if the person wasn't working, I know a situation right now where the mother has never been in trouble. But guess what? She has never worked. And her,
uh-huh.
and my friend, her baby's father, he has had a nice job, one of the best jobs around here in this area. And she has been staying place to place with the kids. He got his own place. They all got rooms over there. But he's not
uh-huh.
behind. And one of the two kids has expressed they want to be with him, and they still will not do it.
That's because they cannot. I keep telling you, they cannot lobby the government if those children come out of the system. They need those social security numbers in the system so that they
right.
can continue. They can continue
right.
to say, hey, we have four children. We got two children. We got Nene and Ray Ray and Kiki's baby over here. They need housing. And so if they come to the father, the state will begin to go in a bankrupt downward spiral because they will not be able to have a corrupt system if those children are in the father's care.
And to reiterate about that money, just in the state of Texas, the incentive money that Texas has received from 2015
Absolutely.
To 2017 is $17 million each year. Nationally, almost $500 million in 2017 alone.
You said incentive money, correct? Can you explain to them, people, your listeners, can you explain to them exactly what that is? I know what it is, but can you explain to them exactly what that is?
The incentive money comes from five performance measures that each state has to keep up with in order to get this incentive money. And that is, let me look it up real quick, but is paternity, how many paternity cases are established, how many child support
many
cases are established.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry?
And how many child support?
What'd you say?
I call it game money. Game money is how, like you say, performance based.
It's nothing. I don't see much difference in between that system that you're talking about right there and the private prison system. You know, when a private prison system come in and build a prison, that state gonna have to promise them so many prisoners, and that's
uh-huh.
the child support doing.
Right.
The child support hustle's doing the same
Absolutely,
thing.
Absolutely, brother.
The way they get those funds is to promise all these financial prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking it up now. Okay, so here are the five performance measures that each state has to have in order to get this incentive monies. Paternity establishment, 4D, and that's going to be 4D PEP. Okay, let me start over. Paternity establishment percentage, support order establishment, current collections, arrearage collections, and cost effectiveness. And in Texas, the cost effectiveness, which is, let me make sure I explain this right, because it's a big amount. This measures the total child support dollars collected as compared to the total child support dollars expended. And in Texas, for every dollar, they collect $10.33. And that was
okay.
in 2017.
Okay.
The national average is for every dollar, it's $5.15.
Let me pause you right there. Okay.
Okay.
Let me see. So 324. That's 95. So that's $1,059 a month that mine was getting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You said for every dollar, how much did they get back in return?
Texas, for every dollar, $10.33.
So you do 1059 times that amount.
1059. Let me get my calculator.
And look where it comes from.
Well, Marcus, you said,
look at that markup from what you pay to what they get. Like they're getting $10 on every one of those
uh-huh.
turns. Look, and that money is coming out of Social Security. Social Security is not going broke. It's being robbed by the child support
uh-huh.
system.
Absolutely.
You said 1059, Mr. McClintock?
1059, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Time. Okay, so we got almost $11,000.
Now we're talking a month now for me. Just for me. That's just
yeah.
me.
Right.
You brought millions.
Oh,
you
money.
Brought millions of dollars. You have brought millions
okay.
of dollars into your local child support DHR. You just by yourself, you've brought millions of dollars in probably.
Dude, and you think they're just gonna give me some more money back? They say uh-uh. Because we got to justify giving that $10,000 back.
Yep.
And that's why they're fighting you so hard. That's why they lost your case file or destroyed.
Uh-huh.
It was destroyed. And that's why they're trying to make you quietly go the way.
But let me tell you something, Kenya. This is why I say, because I'm using the paralegal side of me now. They
mm-hmm.
don't understand that they forced me to learn the law so that I can defend myself right. Okay.
Right.
What they don't understand is that in the legal system, if that and Mr. The late Johnny Cochran said it better when he said, if it doesn't fit, it must acquit.
Right.
You must acquit. So my thing is, if you don't have it in black and white, it did not happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So,
good point.
So if
yeah.
they
good
can't
point.
Produce, if they can't produce the evidence, then eventually somebody's got to bow down. And that's why I said, Lady Justice is peeking through the blindfold because they realize that on the scale of justice, I have all the evidence.
Right.
Yep.
And they can't argue with that.
They're trying to figure out who is this Negro that's got all the evidence that's coming against us.
Mm.
Now,
right.
that takes me to another conversation because in my case, we're suing the state on civil rights violations.
Good.
And the civil rights violation is the 14th Amendment, which is the Civil Rights Act of 1871.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's basically, if you look at it, that's basically back in the old days, they would call it the Ku Klux Klan Act.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ku Klux Klan Act was to prevent the government from taking the property of African Americans without due process.
Okay.
This is what they violated, because for a judge to say that I did not owe, but yet you took my property, that's a civil rights violation.
Yes, it is.
So, like I said, I was asking them for 6628, which is the amount that they took from my tax return. I didn't ask for 6629. I didn't ask for no 7,000. I didn't ask for 20 million. I just asked for what you took from it. But see, now you've caused me some emotional damage.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? And see, all I was asking for is just to do the right thing. But see, now you're going to have to sit down at the table of brotherhood and break off some numbers.
Right, you just wanted your money.
Yeah, exactly. And they are so greedy, though. They could have, and they probably do this all the time. Now, imagine you're fighting back. Imagine how many brothers and sisters, anybody, white, black, whatever, imagine anybody that's in the system who has to go up against that, who don't have the nerve you got, who don't have the drive you got, who not going to stand up and fight for themselves, because many times in many cases, these DHR people have beat the non-custodial parent off into a financial corner, beat them down, sit back and watch parental alienation, torn that person apart.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody like that can't fight all the way to the top or continue fighting like you're doing. Just imagine how many other people that didn't even make it this far, that they beat down before they got this far. So we're standing with you, and we're going to support you. We're going to take a break right here right quick.
I want to say something real quick to add to what Mr. McClintock said.
I was just going to say, right after you say that, can you just tell everybody how they can get in touch with you and all that kind of stuff, and then just jump right back in.
Okay. I wanted to just add on and say that the child support system is unconstitutional and violates civil rights all the way around. They lock people up without their right to due process. They steal people's money without the right to, because they don't have the right paperwork. They don't have the any agreements to take this money from paychecks and things like that. So they violate so many civil rights just based on this system, and that's the reason why that we at the Child Support Hustle are fighting back, trying to get reform, trying to change these debtor prison laws. And if anybody wants to join the fight and help us with some bills passed across the nation, please us at the Child Support Hustle on Facebook, or you can visit us at thechildsupporthustle.com. If you need help with your case, we'll be glad to help you if we can. There's a new client form that you can find on the page. If you want to help out financially, please donate. Every penny helps. And you can find us on social media, on Instagram and Twitter as well.
We want to thank you for coming on. We got about two more minutes left. Is anything you want to tell our listeners to wrap this up? And we definitely got to have you back on, because you need to keep us updated. And I appreciate you, because your stories like yours is what encourage other people to keep fighting on and to speak out.
Definitely.
Yes, brother. Listen, I'm just in it for what's right, Doc. You know, if I were wrong, trust me, you would not see me on here. I would be high.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But listen, I'm for what's right, and I believe that God has got me out of here in this wilderness, because there's a lot of men that want to say something but scared to say it because they don't want to look like they're against women. But listen, I'm not against women. I'm just for what's right. And so I just want to thank you guys for having me. But one thing I do want to say is that for the people who are trying to do the right thing and want to do justice for the Child Support Hustle, go ahead and get in contact with Kenya and see what she can help you do, because your voice means a whole lot, and the more people that come out against it,